Amen. So in 2 Kings chapter number 14, I want to begin reading there where in verse 8 where the Bible reads, "Then Amaziah sent messengers to Jehoash, the son of Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, king of Israel, saying, 'Come, let us look one another in the face.'" And if you were paying attention there, he's challenging him to war. He wants to go fight with him. "And Jehoash, the king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, the king of Judah, saying, 'The thistle that was in Lebanon said to the cedar that was in Lebanon, saying, "Give thy daughter to my son to wife," and there passed by a wild beast that was in Lebanon and trode down the thistle. Thou hast indeed smitten Edom, and thine heart hath lifted thee up. Glory of this, and tarry at home." He's saying, look, I know you think you're bad because you beat Edom, but you don't want none of this. That's basically what he's saying here. That's what this analogy is about. And he says, and he gives him this warning here. He says, "For why shouldest thou meddle to thy hurt?" And that's the title of the sermon this morning, meddling to your hurt. Meddling to thy hurt. And of course, if you know this, we see the story here that he was right. He goes and they look one another in the face, and Judah was put to the worst. He says, don't meddle. You know, he's basically saying, don't mess with me, right? But unfortunately, that's what he did. He went and he meddled to his hurt. Now, if you would, go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 35. 2 Chronicles chapter number 35. Because this is something that you see several times, with the kings, where one's warning another about meddling, about getting involved with conflict that doesn't belong to them, going out and looking for trouble, and as a result, being hurt because of it. And there's a lesson that we can learn from this, is that when we meddle when we get involved in things that in business that doesn't belong to us, it's often to our own hurt. That can apply to us as a nation or us as individuals. You know, if we start meddling in other people's business, if we start trying to interject ourselves into situations, we shouldn't be surprised when that turns around and actually ends up hurting us. Now, you're there in 2 Chronicles. If you look at chapter 35, verse 18, it says, "And there was no Passover like it to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet. Neither did all the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem." So if you remember the story of Josiah, he's that king that goes into the temple and cleans it up, and they find the book of the law, and there's this great revival that takes place, and he puts the Sodomites out of the land, and they have this Passover, right? They realize that they're not keeping the commandments of the Lord, and they keep this Passover. And the Bible's saying here, the narrator is saying that there was no Passover like this, that this was a very unique, it was very great, and this was a very great revival that God did in the days of Josiah. But nevertheless, we'll see here with Josiah that he also meddles to his hurt, that he gets involved in things that he shouldn't have gotten involved with. And often this happens when people are lifted up. You know, they have a great success, they do something right, and they kind of get full of themselves, they kind of get overconfident, and they end up actually overextending themselves, and they end up getting hurt. That's what we saw earlier, that's what we see here with Josiah, that, you know, he's having this great revival, but, you know, he ends up meddling, and it brings him, a great man, even like Josiah, who was a great man of God, it brings him to an early end in his life. He suffers, you know, great consequences. Now, if we meddle in our own lives, you know, it might not cost us, you know, to die early. It might not cause us to have an early end of our life, but it will definitely bring harm. You know, it can bring some degree of harm. Obviously, the degree to which you meddle is going to be the degree to which you are punished, okay? But what we see here with him is that he meddles. He gets involved. And meddling, you know, is basically, you say, well, what's meddling? You know, what does that even mean? Basically, it just means to be intrusive, right? Or it's an intrusive or unwarranted interference. You know, we would often use that word if maybe we're describing like an overreaching government. You know, it's a meddling government. It's a meddling bureaucracy that is overreaching, that's sticking its nose in other people's business, right? And in but notice here in Josiah's case that he was actually meddling with God. Okay, it says there in verse 20, "After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up against to fight against Carchemish by the Euphrates. And Josiah went out against," "went out against him. But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, 'What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I am not come against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war.'" So he's coming up to go fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah sees this. He says, well, I'm going to go out, I'm going to get involved in this fight. And the king of Egypt is saying, look, I'm not come against thee. What have I got to do with you? This has nothing to do with you. This isn't your battle. This isn't your business. And you notice he says, "But against the house wherewith I have to war, for God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God." He's saying, look, what I'm doing, God has told me to do. You know, I believe that's true because he goes on there in verse 22 and he says, "Nevertheless, Josiah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him and hearken not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God." Again, that's the narrator of the Bible saying that these words that Necho spoke were from the mouth of God. So not only is Josiah, although a great man of God, meddling, but he's actually meddling in the affairs of the Lord. He's actually getting involved in things that God doesn't want him to get involved with, okay? And notice the end. Notice what happens. Because despite the warning, being told, hey, don't do this, I don't have a beef with you, but him insisting and disguising himself and going out to fight, notice what happens. Verse 23, and the archers shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, have me away, for I am sore wounded. His servants therefore came out of the chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had and brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and he was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers, and all Judah and Jerusalem mourned after Josiah. You know, it's a sad story because Josiah, again, was a great character in the scripture. If you know the story of Josiah, he's somebody that brought a great revival at a time when Israel was on the brink of destruction and being chastened by God. And he brings this great revival, but because of his meddling, because of him overextending himself, being overconfident, and getting involved in things that were none of his business, he ends up getting, you know, killed, basically. And we should take heed to this lesson that's taught in Scripture. You know, the Bible doesn't just tell this story just so we can, you know, kind of see what happened with Josiah. There's a lesson to be learned here. You know, there's a lesson to be learned that when we meddle with other people's business, when we get involved in things that don't pertain unto us, we do so to our hurt. You know, and it might even be, you know, in some instances, it could cost you your life. You know, we'll talk about some examples here at the end where that has, you know, that type of thing could potentially happen and has. And notice verse 25, and Jeremiah lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah and their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel, and behold, they are written in Lamentations. Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which is written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah. So what we should learn from this is that when you interject yourself into the problems or the strifes of others, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to start to meddle with people, to meddle with situations that do not pertain unto you. Okay? You do so to you hurt, to your hurt. When you meddle to thy hurt. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. You're over there in verse 35. Just go back a little bit to chapter 18, 2 Chronicles 18. I'll begin reading in verse 1. We'll read about another instance where a guy meddled with people in a situation with people that he shouldn't have. And it says in verse 1, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honor and abundance and joined in affinity with Ahab. Now look, if you know your Bible, when you get to chapter 18 and you read that is a major letdown. Because if you read chapter 17, we won't for the sake of time, you see Jehoshaphat doing a lot of good things. He was another great king. He's bringing revival. He does that which is good and that which is right. Then you read chapter 18, verse 1, and you're just kind of like, really? You know, every time I read it, I'm just like, maybe it'll be different this time. You know, maybe I misread it all those other times. It's like, no, he still does this. It still turns out bad. Because he joins affinity with Ahab. And we all know that Ahab, you know, was married to Jezebel, and he was a very wicked man. He was a very bloody man. And it says in verse 2, and after certain years he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance, and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth Gilead. So he brings him down, makes him this big feast, and then he's trying to persuade him to go up to Ramoth Gilead. And Ahab, king of Israel, said unto Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, wilt thou go with me to Ramoth Gilead? And he answered him, I am as thou art, and my people as thy people, and we will be with thee in war. And whenever I read that, it's just like, what do you mean your people are like people? It's like, no. You know, Ahab was reading Israel, Jehoshaphat. Here he's leading Judah, you know, and Israel is worshiping, you know, false gods, are worshiping the false god that they made. In Samaria, you know, it's like, what do you mean your people are like your people? He should be separate, you know, and this is a whole other story right there, but we see that he's slowly being persuaded to get involved in something that really he should never have gotten involved with. Ahab is somebody that he should have kept far, far away. He's somebody that he should not have had any dealings with. But here he is, you know, he's hanging out, you know, he's eating a meal, he's giving him an ear, and next thing you know, he's getting persuaded to go up to Ramoth Gilead. So it says there in verse 28, so the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, went up to Ramoth Gilead, verse 29. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself, and I will go to the battle, and put thou on thy robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself, and they went to the battle. So now you kind of wonder, you kind of see, well, what's going on here? What is it with the disguising? And, oh, you dress up like the king, and I'll disguise myself. It's like, was this his plan the whole time, just to have like a body double? To have somebody there to like, oh, that's who you're looking for over there. That's the king. Take him out, right? And but we know how it turns out here. Verse 30, it says, now the king of Syria had commanded the captains of the chariots that were with him, saying, fight not with great or small or great, save only with the king of Israel. And who's dressed up like the king? Jehoshaphat, right? He's the one that's there who Ahab was like, hey, put your robes on. I'm going to wear something else, you know. And he does it. And of course, we see that, you know, there's this plot to go fight only with the king. Verse 31, and it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore, they compassed him about to fight. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. So notice here that the only reason Jehoshaphat even got out of this situation is because God had mercy on him. You know, God, if God hadn't intervened on his behalf, Jehoshaphat likely was going to die. He was going to be killed. And why would that have been? Because he meddled to his hurt. He got involved in affairs that did not pertain unto him. He's going out and fighting this war on behalf of Ahab, and in the process of doing so, putting himself in a very, you know, grave situation, to the place where he's almost, had God not intervened, he would have been killed. Look at verse 32. For it came to pass that when the captains of the chariots perceived that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back again from pursuing him. So God puts in their mind, opens their eyes, causes them to realize and understand that this is not, you know, this is not the king. This is not the king of Israel. This is somebody else. And I love the story. We'll just read it, verse 33. And a certain man drew a bow at a venture, you know, meaning just, he just was like, wasn't really aiming at anything. He just pulls back a bow and lets her fly, you know, at a venture. You know, he just flings one out there, and it smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Now, there's a whole nother sermon. There's a whole nother lesson in this story. Because remember, Ahab says, hey, you dress up like the king. I'm going to disguise myself like an ordinary soldier and go out there. What's he trying to do? He's trying to save his skin, right? He's trying not to be made, make himself into a target. But, you know, we can, and we in life, sometimes we can think, well, we can try to get away with things, right? We can concoct these plans, and we can conspire, and we can try to hide things and think we're going to get away with things. But we forget often that God gets involved, that there's no hiding from the Lord, that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, beholding evil and the good, the Bible says, that there is no hiding place from the Lord. And that's what this story is. You know, Ahab, he's in his regular garb, but this guy just flings a bow out, or flings an arrow out there, and it gets him right where it counts, right between the joints of the harness, right? Like the one weak link is where that bow that was not aimed, was not some marksman, it was just a guy just flinging an arrow out there. But why was that? Because God got involved, right? And God can also spare us. You know, God can have mercy like he had on Jehoshaphat. If we find ourselves getting into a situation that we shouldn't be in, if we cry out, right, God can deliver us, okay? That's another story, another sermon rather. And it says there, verse 33, and a man drew a bow at a venture, it smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore he said to his chariot man, turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day. Howbeit the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the even. And about the time the son of the going down, he died. Jump down to chapter 19, look at verse 1. And Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. So again, although God spared Jehoshaphat and allowed him to get away with this, allowed him to, you know, escape this battle, he still has to come back and basically get his face ripped, right? He has to go back and face the fact that he did wrong. And God sends Hanani the seer to say, hey, you know what? You're going to go out and help the ungodly. There's going to be wrath upon you. And again, there's another sermon right there that we should not sympathize with ungodly people. We should not be friends with wicked people and sympathize with people that what? Hate God. Now, does everybody hate God if they're not saved? No. But there are people out there that are haters of God. And if somebody hates God, you should not, you should hate them. Okay? And that's a whole nother sermon, right? You say, well, why should I hate? Why, you know, God, they hate God, but why do I have to hate them? Because if you love them and if you help the ungodly, wrath's going to be upon you. So just keep that in mind. We'll move on, though. Verse 3. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, and that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land, hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again, and the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim, and brought them back unto the Lord their God, their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what you do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you, and take heed to do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. So it sounds to me like Jehoshaphat, through this whole experience, learned a very important lesson. That it doesn't matter who you are or how much you've done for things for God in the past or you know how good of a life you've lived or whatever. If you start to do wrong, God will judge you just the same as anybody else. And that's what we see with these kings. We see these kings that go out and they meddle with things that don't belong unto them. They get themselves into these situations, and despite all the good things that they've done, they're still chastened. You know, one of them even dies, to the point of even being killed. One narrowly escapes death. It has to come back and be rebuked sharply. And we can't just think, well, I'm just going to interject here, and I'm going to intermeddle here, and think that I'm going to get away with it. No, God is no respecter of persons. You know, God will judge us. God will allow things to happen to us if we be people that just go around constantly interjecting ourselves, constantly meddling with other things, other people's business, will do so to our hurt. And look, a lot of times God doesn't have to do anything. You know, we meddle in somebody else's business, we get in some situation, we get involved in some conflict that has nothing to do with us. We'll suffer the consequences just, you know, that just result because of that, if you follow me. There's no exceptions to the rule. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles 20, it says in verse 34, then the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Jehu, the son of Hanani, who is mentioned in the book of the kings of Israel. And after this did Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, join himself with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who did very wickedly, and joined himself with him to go make ships to go to Tarshish, and made the ships in Ezion Geber, and then Eliezer, the son of Dodavah of Meresha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahaziah, the Lord hath broken thy works, and the ships were broken, and they were not able to go to Tarshish. So it seems like Jehoshaphat still hasn't learned this lesson. And he said, well, I'm not going to war, but he's still what? Linking up with people that are wicked, linking up with the ungodly, and God is still chastening him for it. You know, when we meddle with things that don't belong unto us, we do so to our hurt. And you say, well, why are you preaching this? Is there something going on? Nope, I don't know. Is there? A lot of times I preach a sermon and people be like, oh, you must have heard about it. I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't hear about that. Like, I had no idea. Well, I was right on spot with what was going on in my life or this situation. Like, I didn't know, you know. I didn't know why I was going to preach this until this morning. So there you go, right? But, you know, the reason why I'm preaching this is because you don't want to learn these lessons the hard way. You know, do yourself a favor and just read the Bible, listen to people that have experienced it already, either in your personal life or through the scriptures, even better, and just take God's word for it that when you meddle, you do so to your hurt. And don't go having to learn this lesson the hard way, okay? And, you know, where you're going to suffer and then come around and say, oh, yeah, you know, I guess I shouldn't have got involved in that. I guess I shouldn't have been hanging out with this person or meddling with this person, getting involved in this conflict. You want to learn these things without having to go through all of that, okay? Now, if you would, go over to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. Excuse me. It says in Proverbs chapter 20, I'll wait for you to get there, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. You know, and sometimes that can seem a little countercultural, right? A little counterintuitive to what it means to be a man today, right? Because men are always, you know, going out there and being tough, and, you know, they got to be the alpha male, right? They got to be the baddest dude around and show everybody. They got to be the guy that eats glass at the party or whatever. You know what I mean? You got to be that the tough guy who punches a hole in the wall or, you know, whatever, right? And goes around and nobody gets, you know, and make everybody afraid of him and stuff like that. But the Bible says it's an honor for a man to what? To cease from strife. So now be somebody who goes around and causes problems, you know, and to, you know, stirs up trouble and causes strife. The Bible says, but every fool will be meddling. You know, it's a foolish thing to go around and get yourself into situations, get yourself into strife that doesn't belong on you. Go into some situation and try to stir things up or try to straighten things out. You see something going on and you want to just get involved. You know, it's kind of, you know, it kind of fit in this morning. I'm driving down Grant here. This isn't going to paint the best picture of our neighborhood. But there's this guy, this homeless guy, who with his pants around his ankles. And I thought, don't meddle with strife not belonging to you. That's not, you don't want anything to do with that strife. I mean, I didn't call the cops. I didn't pull over and say, hey, what are you doing? My family's coming this way. They're going to, you know, they come from that way. So he was headed that way. So hopefully, did you see him? Okay, good. You know, I couldn't see everything that was going on there, but I saw enough to know that that's not a good look. That's not, something's wrong there, right? You know, and what if I said, well, I'm going to get involved here. I'm going to tell this guy to, you know, pull his pants up and sober up and everything. I mean, who knows? The guy could have been a complete psycho. You know, now I'm not here this morning. And now, you know, there's the cops are taping off some, you know, got the yellow tape out. And there's a crime scene just down the road here. And you're wondering, where's the deacon? Right? And I've been knifed by some homeless, pantsless guy. You know, that would not be a good end. Right? But I had to make a decision, like, I'm not going to get involved in this. You know, I'm not going to sit here and meddle with everything. That would be a very foolish thing to do. You know, and that's kind of just a silly example that came up this morning on the way here. But, you know, we probably could all think about instances in our lives where it would probably be better if we just stayed out of the situation. And don't we always have people who are trying to pull us into these situations? Family members, friends, coworkers that are trying to get us to what? Stir up strife. You know, but we want to be if we want to be people who are honorable, you know, we'll cease from strife. We'll say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with that. You know, that's your problem. That's your situation. You deal with it. I'm not going to get involved. You know, my mother-in-law has this great saying. I think I was thinking about when I was writing this was, not my farm, not my pig. Right? Is that it? It's not my farm, then it's not my pig. Like, that's your life. That's your problem. Right? I'll deal with the problems that I have in my life that I can actually do something about. You know, you deal with the ones that you have. Okay, so it says here that, you know, it's a foolish thing to meddle, and you can see why. We can read these scriptures these stories in the scripture, and we can see where people who meddled with strife that didn't belong to them and got involved in situations that they shouldn't have been involved in, and they did so to their hurt. Okay, now before I go any further, let me just take a minute and explain what meddling isn't. What meddling isn't. Okay, meddling is not lending a sympathetic ear. Because I know I'm going to preach it, so people are going to, you know, you can say, well, does that mean I can't talk to so-and-so about some situation they're having? No, of course. You know, if someone comes to you for godly counsel, someone's coming to you for some advice about some situation they're in, that's not meddling, okay? Meddling is when you're actually getting involved. You know, someone comes to you and tells you about some situation, and then you're like, well, you give me their phone number. You know, you tell me where they live. I'm going to come down to that workplace on Monday morning, and we'll talk to that guy together. You know, we'll straighten it out. I'm going to show up on the job site. You know, now that's you getting involved with strife that doesn't belong to you, right? So hopefully everyone can see the difference there. You know, if someone comes to you and says, hey, you know, I'm having a situation, my home, my workplace, whatever, you know, what should I do? You giving godly counsel and advice, you know, is not meddling. Unless you're telling them to, like, be vindictive. You know, if I were you, I would slash their tires, you know. You know, now that's a whole other situation, right? Of course, nobody's doing that, right? Because obviously there are situations where we do want to get involved, where we do want to contend, where we do want to fight, right? Jude wrote and said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, right? He's not encouraging you. He's saying, look, I'm telling you that you need to earnestly contend for the faith, right? So when we see somebody, you know, attacking the word of God or preaching false doctrine, you know, yes, then we should get involved, right? We should meddle with that, right? We should contend for that, right? Because that's a righteous cause. That's a noble cause. Somebody needs to stand up for that. But often, I think we find ourselves getting into situations where it's not some righteous calling. you know, because we have some relative or some friend or something that we have a bone to pick with, or somebody else has a bone to pick with, and we just want to get involved because we're just drama queens, right? We just love strife. Look, people love strife, folks. People love drama. They love it, right? There's whole, you know, movie sections called what? Drama, right? There's people want to get involved in all this. There's the daytime soap opera, right? Those still on? Don't answer that if you know that, right? That are what? Just drama. Just people, you know, so-and-so is sleeping around on so-and-so. This person's committing adultery. This, you know, all this is this person got kidnapped. It's craziness, right? It's all this far out stuff. It's drama. Well, why is that so popular? Because people love it. The daytime talk show, right? You know, where you're have some Nazi Eskimo who's a transvestite and it wants to sleep with, you know, the postal worker. You know, it's just this crazy. Look, it's out there. You look at the Jerry Springers. There's these crazy guests they have on there. They get the KKK in there and the Black Panthers, and they want to have a discussion. They just want a brawl to break out. They want people to start throwing chairs and break the host's nose and everything else, right? People love this stuff. They eat it up. They love strife. But you know what? The Bible warns us that we should not meddle with strife. We shouldn't get involved in these things. We should be people who try to get away from strife, to cease from it. But don't go to the other extreme where if somebody has a sincere question or concern, is just looking for some godly counsel or some advice or a sympathetic ear, you know, say, well, don't talk to me about that. I can't get involved in this. Hopefully everyone knows where that line is drawn and can see the difference between getting involved with strife and just, you know, helping somebody out in a situation. Now, if you would, go over to Proverbs 26. We won't be real long this morning. Proverbs chapter 26. But, you know, this is something that we have to be reminded of from time to time. This is something that we need to bring up every so often, you know, to be reminded that, you know, we need to focus on the fights that matter. We need to, you know, we should pick our battles wisely. You know, and especially this day and age where, you know, it's so easy to get involved with strife, you know, online. You know, you can go to the comment section and just really, and have a lot of strife. You can really start to meddle with people on social media, right? You could read that article and then go to the comments, you know, and just start, you know, and spend an afternoon just arguing with somebody to no end. And that's not profitable. The better thing to do would be we just cease from strife, not be a fool, and do something productive, do something, you know, profitable. Then I have you go to Proverbs 26. Is that where you're at? The Bible says, I'll read from Proverbs 28, verse 1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. So again, there is a time to contend for the faith. There is a time to be bold. There's a time to pursue. But, you know, that's typically not the situation we find ourselves in when we find ourselves involved with strife. Hopefully it is. Hopefully you are contending for the faith. So, again, we're drawing a distinction. What meddling is and what it isn't. What is meddling? It's, again, interjecting yourself into another person's conflict. Getting involved in somebody else's business just so you can, you know, take a side, inflict harm. It's choosing a side and then acting, right? Look at Proverbs 26, verse 17. I love this illustration. He that passeth by, the Bible says in Proverbs 26, verse 17, and meddle with the strife not belonging, and meddle with the strife not belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. Now, you got to think about what the Bible's saying here in this one. Taking a dog by the ears, right? He says when a guy passes by, I mean, he's on his way somewhere else, right? He's already got his own destination. He's already got his own business that he's got to go about. And he decides to meddle with strife not belonging unto him. He sees something going on, hears about some situation, and decides to go and get involved when it had nothing to do with him. It's like somebody that goes and takes a dog by the ears. And obviously, you know, this would be referring to a dog that you probably wouldn't want to touch, right? Here's the problem, you know, if you go find some big nasty mutt with a, you know, mouth full of teeth, and you grab that dog by the ears, you're going to have a hard time letting go of it, aren't you, without getting bit. Because now the dog's mad. Now the dog knows you're there. I mean, if you go grab a dog by the ears, it's not going to wonder, you know, what's going on. It's going to see, it's looking at you, right? You got the dog by the ears. You're close. You're in proximity. You know, there's a good chance that you're going to get bit. unless you keep holding on to the ears, right? I've never done this. I've never tried it. I've thought about this proverb throughout the years. And this is one I've always enjoyed, this proverb. Because you've got this dog by the ears, and it's like, man, I want to let this dog go. But as soon as I let go, I got a free hand by its mouth. It's going to turn around and bite me. I believe that's what the Bible is expressing here. And when you're somebody who goes by and gets involved in somebody else's situation, get involved in somebody else's strife, you're not going to get out of that situation unscathed. You've made yourself a part of it now, right? If we go involved in somebody else's business, some other conflict, we are now part of that conflict. We're on one side or the other. We've made ourselves enemies. People are going to lash out at us. They're going to be like that dog that's going to try to take a chunk out of you, for grabbing his ears. Whereas if you just said, well, there's that dog, and just kept on walking, kept your hands off his ears, you wouldn't have any problem. But once you have a hold of it, it's hard to let go of. That's what it's like when we get involved in a situation that doesn't belong to us. It's hard to get out of that situation. We got a hold of it. Now we got to deal with it. Okay? So it's a great, great illustration about meddling with strife that does not belong to you. Obviously, some strife does belong to us. There is some strife that just falls right in our lap. We got to deal with it. Okay? But the Bible is talking about strife that does not belong to him. Meaning it's somebody else's battle. It's somebody else's business. I don't live my life going around thinking I have to right every wrong in the world. You need to pick your battles. And you see this so often, especially in the day and age we live in, online. You'll see this with preachers. There'll be some strife going on amongst, brethren and preachers. And then this one's got to get up and preach this sermon. And then you got to have the response sermon. And then you got to have the response to the response sermon. And I've tried hard, and I'm sure, I've been guilty of this, but I try hard to say, I'm not going to preach across the internet against somebody, in another town somewhere. And just say, look, that's their business, that's their strife, that's their problem, let them deal with it. What's it got to do with me, right? Because if I go grab that dog by the ears, I'm not going to get out of it without getting bit. I might come out looking bad, right? But, this type of thing takes place at all, that's just one example. But people today, they get involved with strife that does not belong to them. Think about, here's a broad example, U.S. foreign policy. Maybe they should put that up there in Washington. Go grab a dog by the ears in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and see how well you're going to get out of there without people dying, innocent people being killed, people coming back maimed and injured, having PTSD, committing suicide. I mean, more soldiers are committing suicide than they're actually dying in war today because of the things that they see and go through over there. It's tragedy, folks. And our founding fathers, guys like, you can go read about George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, their religion and everything else aside, they had some good ideas about foreign policy. They said they're not going to get they wanted to avoid entangling alliances. Trade with all, but alliances with none. They promoted free trade and all that, but not getting involved in these pacts and these treaties, where if you pick on this nation, we're just gonna immediately jump in, And here's the thing, because what is that? That's strife that belongs into somebody else. It's like what did the Vietnamese ever do to us? But we got out of that quagmire. What did Iraq ever do to us? WMDs didn't exist, right? Look there, folks. They never found them. Where's the anthrax? Oh, they moved them. I get it. It's kind of getting that conspiracy realm. But look, people have been trying to turn lead into gold for a long time, haven't they? And the politicians finally figured out how to do that, how to turn lead into gold. You start a war. Because you get all that lead flying in the air, you know what? That all costs money. That's what all that stuff's about anyway. And I don't want to preach some political sermon. But this is a good application for that, isn't it? That's a good approach to foreign policy. Let's not be a nation that goes about and just intermeddles with strife not belonging unto us, because all it's going to do is cost us lives. It's going to just bring tragedy and heartache to our own homes and our own shores. How about just physical altercations? Okay. Now, obviously, if you see somebody, where you can do something about it to kind of spare someone some physical torment, you should probably jump in. But I started reading some stories. I just Googled Good Samaritan attacked. Okay? And it was amazing to me how many stories popped up of people getting involved and then being attacked by the people they're trying to help. Now, I'll say this. Most of the stories I read were, it was women that did it. And I'm not saying that's, you know, against women, but it's because you have, the Bible just says they're the weaker vessel, right? So maybe this should be a tip for ladies. You know, go ahead and let that person suffer. You know, spare yourself, right? I read about one lady, she saw a guy get into it. She's driving along, she just came upon this guy, and he'd run this car into like a concrete wall or something, and the steam's coming out, whatever, it's disabled. So she pulls over to see if the guy's okay. He attacks her and starts climbing in her car and trying to carjack her. Turns out the car he crashed, he had stolen it. And now he's trying to steal her car, right? And then he takes off as soon as the cops are coming. They caught up with him later. But I thought, man, that's, you know, it would probably have been better to just keep on driving. Like, maybe roll down the window. You're all right? Yeah, I'm fine, whatever. Or no, hey, come here. You know. But she just stops and jumps in and gets involved. There was another story I read about. Now, this is a guy. This homeless guy was working at some gas station or something like that. And there was this homeless lady that kept hanging around. So he felt bad for her. So he brought her home, let her clean up, fed her, gave her a place to stay. And then he said she just started acting crazy. She reaches into her fanny pack. Beware of anybody with a fanny pack. I'm kidding. And she pulls out two knives and starts threatening him. And he has to, like, run to his room. She's chasing down the hall. He grabs a gun and jumps through a window and calls the cops. Turns out she was a meth head. She was just freaking out. They found pipes on her and everything. But, you know, he's meddling with strife that doesn't belong to him. And look, I don't want people to turn into a bunch of cold-hearted jerks and never want to lend a helping hand. But be careful who you lend a hand to. What if I had stopped this morning with that guy and be like, hey, can we go over to Goodwill and get you some pants? You know, can I buy you a belt? I mean, who knows what could have happened? You know what I mean? The guy could have attacked me. You know, something crazy could have happened. There was another story, 3 a.m. Look, 3 a.m., if you're out at 3 a.m. and you're things are going, that's not a good time to be out, first of all. I'll preach about that tonight, okay? But if you're out late at night, that's probably not the time to stop and help strangers, is late at night when nobody else is around. But I read another story. This is up in Tempe. The lady's driving down the freeway at 3 a.m. This carload of a couple guys, a lady, and a minor are all on the side of the freeway flagging her down. So she pulls over because she's just, you know, out of the goodness of her heart. She just pulls over, and she ends up getting robbed. They end up robbing her and taking off and getting back in their car. I mean, they just took total advantage of her. So, you know, I just thought about these. It's like, this might just be a good, you know, public service announcement. Just be careful about the situations that you get yourself involved in. You know, especially if you're going out of your way to involve yourself in somebody else's strife. You know, you're not going to come out of that unscathed. You will meddle to your own hurt. If you would, go over to Proverbs chapter 17. Again, I already talked about all the online altercations that people have. People spend a lot of time meddling with strife that doesn't belong to them online. And people are always trying to rope us into that, you know, at the church. People are always sending us emails and like, hey, did you see this? Did you hear that? Or so-and-so said this and so-and-so. Or, you know, trying to get us involved in some kind of argument, inviting people onto debates and things like that. Look, we want to cease from strife. Okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 26, you're in 17, it says, where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You know, if you take wood out of a fire, eventually it's going to burn out. It has to have fuel, right? We don't want to be people who throw fuel on the fire, getting involved in situations, causing flare-ups, getting things going, getting people, mad at each other. We want strife to cease. Maybe we can't do something about some situation that other people are involved in, but at least for ourselves, we can stay out of it and keep that strife out of our life. Because look at Proverbs 17, verse 14. This is a good warning. The Bible says, the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. So again, this is one of those kind of cryptic, you know, proverbs that you have to think about. What's it saying here? But, it, you know, I always think about, you ever seen the guy who, like, they have the above ground pool? And they want to let the water out of it by cutting it. And they always film it for the rest of us, right? Thankfully, because it's hilarious. And they always cut the side that's like pointing towards the house. with the sliding glass door or whatever. It's like, you idiot. But what do they think? They're just going to walk up and poke the pool and just water is going to trickle out. Yeah, it does that for like a millisecond. You know, for like 1/10 of a second, it's just this little stream of water, but it's all this pressure that behind it that immediately just tries to go through that hole and burst the whole side of the guy. Gets swiped off his feet. He's flowing down the lawn, you know, into his own house. Water's splashing everywhere. There's toys, you know, and everything's going everywhere. It's a big mess, right? But that's what the Bible's saying about strife. That's the beginning of strife. You know, you think you're going to get involved. You're going to just have a little bit of strife. I'm just going to make this one comment. I'm just going to say this one little thing. I'm just going to give them this little prod, this little needle. You know what? That's like letting out water because you don't know how that person's going to react. Next thing you know, it's like you're just caught up in this flood of anger and resentment and malice and just all these negative things are just pouring forward, just pouring out like when one lets out water. You can't just let out a little bit of water. It all comes gushing out more than you intended. Well, I didn't mean for that to happen. You know, I thought I'd just poke a little hole in the side of this pool and just a little bit of water. It'd be cool. You know, I just watch it come out slowly. We drain it slowly over time. Nope. That might be what you intended, but you know what you get is the deluge, right? You just get flooded by a bunch of unwanted consequences. So don't be a person who goes around stirring up strife. Don't be a person who goes around getting involved in other people's strife. Because you don't know what the end of it is going to be. But I guarantee you this, from everything we're seeing in Scripture, everything that we're reading in the Bible, we're seeing that what? That when you meddle, you do so to your own hurt. So, you know, basically this is the sermon in a nutshell, is to use discernment when choosing to involve yourself with the strife of others. You know, if you're going to get involved in some situation, whether you're, you know, you see two people fighting, you know, this is a classic example. You know, some guys, you know, a man and a woman, some couples going at it, it's getting physical. Like, well, I'm not going to just stand here and watch a woman get thrown around. And there's nothing good about it, obviously. Then you try to get involved, and what happens? She turns on you. Now you got both of them on you. That's happened. That kind of thing takes place all the time. You know, sometimes that's just how people just show that they love each other. You know, that's just their weird dynamic in that relationship. You know, you should probably just stay out of it. Right? Because that's the type of thing that happens. People get involved. They think they're sticking up for somebody. They're getting involved in a situation. And next thing you know, they get turned on. Obviously, you have to use discernment here, folks, when it's right to get involved. But use caution. Because, you know, like it says here, it's like letting out water. It seems like it's just going to be this little trickle. But what's it say? It's like a big, you know, just gushing stream comes out, right? Therefore, it says at the end, leave off contention before it be meddled with. You know, you see some situation, there's this contention, there's this argument, there's a strife. It'd be better to say, leave off that contention before you get involved with it. Because once you get involved with it, now you've got a dog by the ears. And now you have to figure out how you're going to let go without getting bit. And guess what? You're going to get bit to some degree or another. So, again, let's not be people who meddle with strife to our hurt. You know, we should stick up for things that matter. Get involved and contend for things that are righteous. You know, I'm not saying we should just be these pacifists, that we should never get involved in conflict, but we should choose our battles very wisely, because if we're getting involved with strife that doesn't belong to us, you know, it could end up coming back and hurting us. Let's go ahead and pray.